You're tuned to WGAA, AM 1340, The Big AA. Time now for the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Stay tuned to find out how you can become totally debt-free and retire with dignity and peace of mind. You can call Steve with your questions about debt or retirement right now at 1-800-732-6458 or call the station at 770-748-6458. 1340. Now, here's Steve Barfield.
Hello, my friends. I hope you're all out there having a good afternoon, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to the Financial Framework Show each Wednesday. If you're in the car, make sure you keep your focus on being safe. If you miss anything on the show today, the shows are all archived on the Financial Framework website for you to listen to 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I'm looking forward to talking to you and discussing different issues about debt, retirement, or money, and how it relates to your lives. The call-in number is 1-800-732-6458. Again, the call-in number is 1-800-732-6458. Or you can call the WGAA radio station at 770-748-1340. That's 770-748-1340. And remember, there is no such thing as a dumb question. The only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. You see, my goal for everyone who listens to the Financial Framework Show each week is for you to get out of debt and retire with dignity. Now, before we go to the phones today, I want to talk about children. And I will begin with what I see is wrong in today's society, and then discuss different ways and ideas for you to begin the process of teaching your children about money. I absolutely love kids. I want them all to grow up and be everything that God put them on this earth to be. So when I cover this first part, please know that this is coming from my heart, and please don't take what I'm going to cover today the wrong way. Please have an open mind and think about the points that I'm trying to make. And after I cover the part about children and money, I would appreciate it if you would call and join in on a discussion and let me know your thoughts about allowances. Do you give your children an allowance? Do they earn it? Or is it something that you just give them each week? And if you don't do an allowance, what made you decide not to? I'm looking for different opinions on this. I'm going to give you some information that should help you teach your children about money. If they're not taught, it will be left up to them to figure it out. And as you and I both know, a lot of mistakes will be made. But if they have an idea about what to do, it will make their financial lives much, much better when they become grown-ups. Now, this first part doesn't have anything to do with money, but kids are a lot different today than they were when I was young. And I'm not saying that all kids are different, but many of them are. When I was young, if I did something wrong, something that I need to be punished for, I got the seat of my pants busted, and I'll tell you, it didn't take but one time, and I never did what it was that earned me that spanking again. I never spent 1 second in time out, and if I was told to do something, I knew there would be consequences if I didn't do it. Nowadays, I hear people at the ballpark tell their children over and over, "You're going to get it if you don't stop climbing that fence," and the kids just look back at them and continue right along what they're doing in the first place. They know that nothing's going to happen. They know that those threats are nothing more than threats. They know there's not going to be any consequences, and since they were not made to mind while they were young, they will continue in their adult lives the same way. You know, back when I was in school, if I did something that I was not supposed to do, I would be called to the principal's office and I would get a paddling. A couple of times over the years, they wore the seat of my pants out, and when I got home, I got it also from my parents. They didn't put up with anything. Today, maybe they would call it child abuse, but discipline is a very necessary thing. And it only took a couple of times, and I knew that I had better behave. And one of the times that I can remember, I was in shop class, and we were in a classroom that was located in the shop. And we would have the class, and then we would go out and build something out of wood. And for some reason, we were all about to sit down, and I had this bright idea to move the chair out from under the boy before he sat down. It was funny for a minute. We all laughed, and he missed a chair and hit the floor. Now, it didn't hurt him, and he even laughed, but the shop teacher found out about it, and I didn't have to go to the principal's office. In fact, I didn't make it to the principal's office. He tore me up right then and there. And here again, after a couple dumb things, I decided that I didn't like getting into trouble, and I never did it again. Now, fast forward to today. Kids can do whatever they want, and they know there's no consequences. They don't fear getting into trouble. They don't fear getting their tails wore out. So they do whatever they want. And this is not good. Why do you think we're having so many kids take guns to schools and shooting teachers and their classmates? It's because they're being raised without discipline. They don't have to worry about any consequences to their action. They don't fear or respect anything. And because of this, a large portion of the younger generation don't have respect for the teachers, for their parents, for any adult. Some people blame the gun. But that gun would stay on the closet shelf and rust itself back to dust. That gun cannot drive itself to the school. That gun cannot hurt people on its own. It takes a person who has no fear and no respect. Now, you might get mad at me about saying all this, but we didn't have this kind of stuff going on when I was young. I mean, people could bring their pocket knives to school during PE and they would play games sticking them in the dirt. Kids would have their hunting rifles hanging in the back window of their pickup trucks, and they might have even gone hunting before school. Kids knew full well that if they did something wrong, there would be consequences. They knew better, and it made them better people for it. Think about this, and I really want you to think about this. How fast do you drive? Do you stay at or around the speed limit? Why do you do that? It is because that you are fearful of getting a ticket, which will cost you money, which could cost you more on your auto insurance, or maybe even take away your license, your privilege to drive. Now, think about how fast and reckless people would drive if there were no speed limits, no rules or laws to follow, no police to enforce the laws. People will be running 100 miles an hour through neighborhoods. You see, there has to be consequences for bad actions. And as unpopular as it is today, people need to fear doing something wrong. The Bible tells us that if we spare the rod, we spoil the child. How did we get so far off track on raising our children? I think a lot of the problem is that parents want to be friends with their children. They want their children to think that they're cool. So when the kids do something wrong, nothing happens to them, so they do it again. And as they get older, it continues to get worse and worse. When Teresa and I had 3 kids by the time we were 19, we disciplined our children the same way that we had been disciplined. Now think about this. Neither one of us were damaged because we'd been disciplined. We didn't have to take medication or talk to counselors. We could plainly see that we didn't turn out too bad, so we continued the tradition. And today, with God's blessing, a lot of love and discipline, all 3 of our children, who are now almost 34, already 35 and 36, they are all Christians. They all work. They are all productive. They are tremendous parents, and they're just truly awesome. Once again, how did this happen? And I will put it to you bluntly. I didn't put up with any bull. When I said something, they knew that I meant it. If I told them I was going to bust their tails, I kept my promise. I didn't beat them. In fact, I hardly ever whipped them. But just knowing that I wouldn't put up with anything, it kept them in line. They respected me and their mother. And you see, discipline will show your children that you love them. It will help you earn their respect. And we talk to our kids, our adult children, 2 and 3 times now every day. And if I don't call them, they call me. I mean, our relationship is tremendous. And they are raising their children the same way that they were raised. And guess how my grandchildren will turn out? Just as good as their parents. How do I know this? Because it's pretty simple. They will be shown a lot of love. They will completely understand that there will be consequences for any wrongdoing. And it might be hard for people to understand, but love and discipline equals respect. And this is a combination it takes to raise decent, God-fearing adults. And since I'm on this subject, I guess I'm on a roll. Another problem that I see is that children are being taught that performance don't really matter. They're being taught that everyone deserves the same recognition, no matter if they worked extra hard to excel at something or if they didn't. For an example, right now I have 6 of my grandchildren that are playing baseball and softball. Everyone on the team gets a trophy. While there's nothing wrong with this, there is no special trophies given to the players that have the best batting average or made the least amount of errors. To be the best on a team, it takes hard work. It takes dedication and motivation, desire. And when they have practiced on their own or with help of their parents during the offseason, they should be rewarded for their efforts. It is not fair that one of the children decides to work extra hard and be better on the field, and then the other one sits on a sofa and plays video games, and both of them are treated the same when it comes to recognition. This is not right. This is a flat-out shame. The reasoning is the people claim they don't want to hurt the kids' feelings. And my oldest grandson, Jay, he played on a baseball team when he was 9 years old that the team mother would not let them keep score, not even on the scoreboard. When I asked her why the score was not on the board, she told me that it hurts the kids' feelings when they're losing. Now, how dumb is this? I stayed mad all season. You see, when I played ball, I can remember looking at the scoreboard when my team was getting beat, and I can vividly remember thinking, we have got to do better. We have got to play hard and beat these guys. And sometimes we did, and sometimes we didn't. But it's the drive, the competition that makes people better. And kids need to learn how to reach down inside of themselves and pull out some more courage. They have to learn how to fight to win, not just for themselves, but for the team. This will help them throughout their entire lives, and I don't know how in the world we got off track on this. We cannot shelter our children from getting their feelings hurt. Life is tough, and when these children hit the real world, scores will be kept. Winners will be winners, and losers will be losers. Please use your heads on this. If your child is playing ball, spend as much time in the yard with them as you can. Show them if they're going to succeed in life that they have to put forth effort. They have to strive to be the best that they can be. And if you will instill this in them, you will be raising some successful adults. But if you share the thought process as the team mother that I just mentioned, you're going to raise some underachieving and whining adults. Once again, you can get mad at me if you want to, but I know what I'm talking about. And now that I've said all this, let's talk about money and different ways to teach your children about money. And we will first begin talking about allowances. And I know that some families give allowances and some don't. And as I mentioned a few minutes ago, I would really appreciate your calls today about this. I would like to know if you give them an allowance. If you do, then how does it work? If you do give them some money each week, do they do chores and work for it, or do you just give it to them? Then I would like to hear from some of you that don't give your children allowances. I don't have a preference either way. I'm just trying to learn what works and what don't. I simply want to hear your reasons and thoughts about the subject. Now let's talk about some ideas that will help your children grasp the concept of money and how to obtain it and how to keep it. Think about this. Children are not taught about money, how to set up a family budget, how to buy investments and insurance. They are taught how to dissect frogs instead, and you've heard me say this a lot of times. And what in the world does dissecting frogs have to do with life? I have absolutely no idea. For this first exercise to work, it is important for you to be able to pay your bills. Even if you're barely squeaking by, your children need to be brought in on the process. Now, if you're behind on your bills, then hang loose on this one, and when you get caught up, then use this exercise. Think about it. They will not learn this stuff. They will finish school and start out on their own. They will acquire debts and begin their lives. They will have either a mortgage payment or rent, probably a car payment and utilities, and many times this is the first exposure that young adults will have when it comes to paying bills and managing a budget. So, if you'll get them involved early with you, it will make all the difference in the world. It makes sense to use children in the advanced 8-year-old range and up on this example. Every time you pay the bills, these children and your spouse need to be involved. The first thing you need to do is to put out your check register or a blank piece of paper and write down the account balance and let them know that this is how much is available to take care of these particular expenses and to live until the next check hits the bank. Now open up the first bill and let's assume it's an electric bill. Pass it around, let each child see how much it is, then explain to them this is what you have to pay to keep electricity on. Also explain to them this is why that we're always telling you to turn off the lights when you leave the room. Now this may not sink in until they help you pay two or three of these bills. Then it will make more sense to them and they will learn the importance of being responsible. Now you need to have one of the children list the amount shown on the bill on the page with the account balance and subtract the payment. Have the children do this as you pay each bill. They need to see firsthand how money evaporates as bills are paid. Now, if they're old enough to write legibly, let them write the checks, show them what to put and where to put it, and explain to them to always put the account number on the memo line so that the creditor can match up the payment with the account. Then have the children fill out the coupon, place it along with the check in the envelope, and seal it up. Then move on to the next one. Now, following this example will teach your children several important things: how to pay bills, how to keep track of expenses, and how everything in their life costs money. This exercise will teach them that money is hard to come by and is best to use wisely. Now, I don't want them to begin worrying about money, but they need to be involved in the financial process of keeping the financial house in order. Then, when they're out on their own, they will know exactly what to do. There is one thing that I've noticed over the past couple of decades, and that is children expect to be where their parents are now. They don't think that they should start small and grow from here. They honestly think that they can have and do the same things that their parents do, and you know as well as I do, this is not how it works. So, this makes this exercise that we just covered even more important. It brings some reality to their lives and puts things into perspective. Another thing you need to do with your children concerning money is to show them how to earn money. Show them that the harder and smarter they work, the more money they will make. I have done this on several occasions and it works great. Decide on a job, maybe out in the yard. You know, it's just about spring and there's a lot to do to get the yard looking good for the summer. And a couple of years ago, one evening, I had two of my grandsons, Jay and Josh, helping me in the backyard. And for some reason, our yard seems to grow rocks. So we were out there picking them up and putting them in buckets to dump into the woods. Now, I told each of them that I would pay them for their efforts. And I noticed that Josh, the younger brother, was playing more than he was picking up rocks. And Jay was working as hard as I was. Now, after we finished the job, I had them show me their individual piles of rocks. And Jay's was about 4 or 5 times bigger. So I handed Jay a $20 bill and I handed Josh a $5 bill. Well, Josh looked up at me with a confused look and then asked me why Jay got 20 and he only got 5. And I was expecting this, so as soon as he asked me the question, I told him to look at the pile of rocks. Then I asked him who had the biggest pile. Then I asked him if he and Jay had been working the same amount of time. He replied yes. So I asked him, if you and Jay have been working the same amount of time and his pile is 4 or 5 times bigger than yours, what do you think happened? He kind of smiled and said, I guess I didn't work as hard as Jay. And I replied, no, you didn't. Then I asked him if he understood now why Jay made more money than he did, and he quickly replied, yes. And then he said next time he was going to work as hard as Jay and earn as much money as he did. And see, that was a very important lesson for both kids. The next thing that I told them is I wanted them to be smart with the money that they had just earned. I wanted them to put a third of the money in a collection plate at church on Sunday morning, the second third of the money into their piggy banks, and then spend the other third if they want to. Now, this will start a pattern that hopefully will follow them their entire lives, because giving money and saving money is essential for a fruitful life and future, and just as taking and spending is a combination for disaster. Now, I can just hear some of you right now. You're saying that this is mean, that I should have given both of them the same. And after you said this to me, I would strongly disagree. That is one of the things that's wrong with our country today. And I totally disagree with taking from people who work hard and giving it to people who lay on the sofas and watch TV. My children and my grandchildren are going to work. They're going to work hard to achieve all they can in life, and they have been raised knowing that no one owes them anything. They're entitled to what they're willing to work for and nothing else. This is America, the greatest country that has ever existed, a country where 2 young kids can get married, have 3 kids of their own and a mortgage by the time they're 19 years old, work hard, go to church, trust in God, and accomplish their dreams. Teresa and I could have blamed everything around us for being broke, for not having the good life when we were first married. But we made our bed, and we were bound and determined to see it through. And this attitude of taking from the workers and giving to the bums tears me up. In fact, it makes me sick. If you want more out of life, then go out and get it. Don't expect anyone to give you anything that you haven't earned. Now, I realize that I'm all over the spectrum today, but all of this stuff is relevant. Now, here's another exercise for you to consider about your kids. As the spring approaches, you're planning some activities, and make sure that you consider this idea. Let's assume that you're going to a theme park for the day. Decide how much money is going to be spent and budgeted for the trip, and then save money for this and let the kids participate in the saving process. Gather around the kitchen table with the entire family, talk about how much the tickets are, figure out how far it is to where you want to go and how much gas it will take, and try to figure out how much food will cost. Then determine how much food and drinks that you could carry with you to save money, and then have some extra just in case something unexpected happens or in case someone wants to buy something during the day. Now, have the family plan this out with you and have a figure in mind And then once again, this is very important, make it a family goal and have this amount of money saved for the excursion. Have the children do chores, you put a little money aside, but everybody work together on this to save money for the trip. If you simply drive through the ATM machine and pull out the money, that actually sends a wrong message to the kids. Now, once the day arrives, get all the children that are old enough to be in charge of managing the money. Now, don't let them actually take possession of it, because you know, as I do, they have a tendency to lose things, and losing money is a terrible thing. Now, have each of the kids take them a piece of paper or a small spiral-bound notebook, and then have them put the starting dollar amount at the top. And then, as money is being spent throughout the day, let one of them actually hand the money to the person taking up the money, and then let them count and make sure the proper amount of change has been received back. Then have each child subtract what was just spent from the beginning balance. Do this every time money is spent all day long. Now, sometime during the day, and probably the last part of the day when the balance is looking pretty slim, I want you or your spouse to find something, maybe in a gift shop or somewhere, and I want you to act like you want to buy it. Now, we're just pretending here, and what we're trying to do is to get the kids to look at the amount of money that is left, then think about the fact that dinner still needs to be purchased, and that a little bit needs to be left over just in case of an emergency. Then I want you to ask them if you could have the item. They will look at the price, and they'll have to tell you there's not enough money left in the budget for the item. They will have to tell you no. And then you can ask them again and again for the item, just as they do you when they want something. Now, do you understand how powerful this lesson is? First of all, you have begun the process to teach them to save up and pay cash for things. You have taught them how to budget money. You have given them a taste of what it feels like when they're always badgering you about buying things. It will change their behaviors, and when it comes to money, and give them a glimpse of what to expect when they become adults. I'm sorry about being all over the spectrum today, and I hope you did find some helpful ideas about your kids. And right now we're going to take a break, and please call in and give me your ideas once again on your children and allowances. I know that Americans are innovative, and I want to learn from some of you. The call-in number is 800-732-6458, and the local WGAA number is 770-748-1340. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll be back in just a minute. We'll be back in just a minute.
Gone. 27 minutes after the hour, it's the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Call us with your financial questions at 800-732-6458. And Steve, good to have you with us this afternoon.
Yeah, glad to be here, buddy.
Had a rather lengthy opening segment here, and I had a couple of callers call in during that segment. So if you want to call us back, we'd love to get you on the air and talk to Steve. So call us back at 1-800-732-6458 or locally 770-748-1340.
Let's go ahead, Andrew, and go to some emails today. This one here is from Kevin in Dallas, Georgia, and he says, "Dear Steve, my grandmother passed away and her estate was just settled. Thankfully, she had set up a trust and just about everything went to her heirs without getting tied up in court." That was real smart.
Yeah.
I've got a pretty healthy sum of money, and I'm not sure what to do with it. I've been shopping for CDs, but they aren't paying anything right now, less than 2%. Some of my buddies at work are telling me I should invest in the stock market, but I really don't want to lose money. Plus, I have to pay commission to somebody that I'm sure is just telling me to buy whatever the boss is telling them to sell. So I don't think the stock market is a good option. Just putting money in the bank makes me nervous because of all the news about how many Georgia banks are in trouble. Can you help me keep fighting the good fight?" And that's a great problem to have, Kevin, having money and trying to figure out what to do with it. I would definitely, as far as the stock market is concerned, I would definitely be careful with the stock market. I realize that it's been up lately, but the stock market don't add up at all. The stock market, based on
Yeah, well, I was about to say, you know, you were talking about that off air a while ago about how the stock market is just...
Well, it's fake.
It's fake, yeah.
Because you have unemployment. The White House says 9.7%, but technically this is not taking into consideration people that are not even looking for jobs any longer. And so really and truly, probably unemployment is between 15 and 17%. So that's almost one-fifth of our workers are not even working. We have credit cards that are maxed out. Our mortgages are maxed out. No equity, and even the home values themselves have gone down. The bankruptcies, setting all-time record bankruptcies, foreclosures, and the business foreclosures have not even started hitting yet. And then there will be even more personal bankruptcies that are and foreclosures that are just sitting there that have not been processed yet. So I just don't understand how in the world, except for the fact that the banks themselves are pretty much 80% or more of the investment into the stock market right now. And then on CDs, I think that, you know, you should have probably a little bit of money in a CD or a money market just for liquid money, but I would not want to stick a whole lot of money into CDs. I pulled the FDIC report, the annual report for 2008 this week, and the 2009 figures are not out yet, but for every $100 you would put into a CD at a bank, they have 36 cents to back it up.
Wow. Yeah, you were talking about that off the air before, too, and that was just staggering to me. You know, what happens if you dug back in to get that CD and there's only 36 cents to $100 to back it up?
Well, the actuality is if three of the banks that really represent the top 10% of the banking industry, if they were to fail, it would collapse the entire system. So it's a good idea to have some money in CDs because it's liquid or either money markets, but I would not want to put my life savings in CDs right now. And
well, Steve, let's go to our phone lines. We have somebody waiting, and let's see who we have on. This is the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Yeah. My name's LaDon Wom. I saw him at the Church of God.
Yes, sir.
And I got a question about if you're on a fixed income.
Meaning that your disability or retirement?
Yeah, and you got loans and stuff. How can you get out of debt and work and be able to save money?
Well, are you already paying your bills right now? Or I know everything's a struggle because that's the way life is now, but are you able to pay your bills right now?
Yeah, barely.
Well, if you can barely pay your bills, then the system will work for you, because what we're going to do is we're going to map out exactly where you are, and we're going to take the money that you have coming in and the bills that you have, and we're going to mesh them together, and we're going to show you the most effective way to become debt-free. And you will be totally surprised, and you'll be also happy. But I'm sorry you didn't come up and talk to me at the church the other day. I'm going to be out there again. I don't know the date yet. In fact, I'm waiting on a call from the pastor, Pastor Mara, and I'm going to be out there for another meeting, I think, before they actually start the classes. But you have does your wife work also? Are you married? Or?
I'm married, and she drove a disability check.
Okay, so Social Security and disability. Yeah, so what we would do is, you know, we would take those together, and we would take your debts and work your blueprint out, and it'll show you exactly how fast you can have everything paid off, and then you'll also, in the class, learn how to do things much smarter in the future. You'll learn how the budgeting system works, which is very simple. I think you'll thoroughly enjoy this. I think it'll make all the difference in the world for you.
And one other question.
Yes, sir.
On that kit you presented.
Yes, sir.
If you on a low income and it's $100 rounding up.
Yes, sir.
How would you go about getting it if you can afford it?
Well, let's talk to the pastor and of the church and see if we can't find a way to scholarship part of it or all of it or whatever for you. Just attend to the next meeting. Do you go to that church or did you just come to the meeting?
I go there regular.
Okay, you go there regular. Okay,
yep.
I
was baptized in it.
Okay, good. Well, get with Phil Thomason, if you know Phil Thomason, and see if we can't work something out to help you out.
Okay.
Okay, is that a deal?
That's a deal.
Okay, and you'll be glad you went.
Thank you, and God bless.
Thank you, sir.
Well, Steve, we got to take a break right quick and take care of some business, but we'll be back with more of the Financial Framework Show coming up in just a few minutes. So keep it right here on the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield here on WGAA Radio. It's the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Our number toll-free, 800-732-6458. That's 800-732-6458. It's the once again, this is the Financial Framework Show, and it's a Wednesday afternoon, March the 17th, 2010. And Steve, before we got to the call, you were talking about an email that you had,
and we'll finish up on that. Yeah, we'll finish that one. And for the ones of you just tuning in, Kevin from Dallas had actually emailed in, and he's gotten a settlement from his grandmother's estate, and he was asking questions about CDs, and he was also asking about the stock market. And I have grown very conservative over the years. I've been in the financial services business for 25 years, and in the 90s, you probably couldn't do any wrong in mutual funds and things, but the last decade
has changed.
And had you put your money in, let's say $100,000 in the stock market in 2000, you would have had about $90,000 left at the end of 2009. So, and I'm not very trusting of the bank situations now. And once again, Kevin, we use index products pretty much in the seminar because you're not going to lose. And for every $100 you put in, they have $107 backing those things up. So that's the direction I would take if I were you. And if you need some help individually and would like me to work or some of our coaches to work with you on this, just email me at steve@financialframeworkshow.com. That's steve@financialframeworkshow.com. And we'll definitely assist you in any figuring out of what you need to do on this. But thanks for the email.
800-732-6458 is our toll-free number. Give us a call. Our phone lines are open at this time. So give us a call.
Well, you know, I was going to tell a little story. At the seminars, we have what's called a financial victory celebration dinner at the end of the seminars, and I was in Cleveland, Tennessee at the North Cleveland Church of God this Monday night. And during the dinner, I wound up sitting, I guess, at the kids' table, and because that's pretty much all was there.
Right.
And there was a little boy that was sitting straight across from me. He was actually real small for his age, and he was so cute, and personality just bubbling off the little guy. And we got to talking, and I asked him about his grades, and he said, well, my brother, he's on the AB honor roll, and he said, I'm on the ABC honor roll. And I said, really? And he said, yeah. I mean, just like I was talking to an adult. And I said, well, why aren't you on the AB honor roll? He said, you know, I don't know. And I said, do you think you could do that? He said, well, sure I could. And so all of a sudden now, me and this little 11-year-old kid, we're making deals, and he's going to get on the AB honor roll, and the person that brought him there is going to let me know. And I told him I was going to be following back up with this, and I would give anything if you could have seen the situation and seen this little boy. It was just, you know, I just fell in love with him. I'd have took him home.
Well, that's a great story.
But that little guy out there, he just took my heart away from me. And, and that's pretty much the reason I decided to open up this part of the show today with talking about children, because children is so, you know, it's so important for us to use our heads and for us to do what we're supposed to do when it comes to raising kids. It seems like that many people now put their own lives in front of their children's lives, and it seems like that America is becoming more and more selfish. And if we don't raise kids, if we don't do things right, then we're really going to be in some serious trouble.
Kids are so important because they are the future of They are the future of this country. They're the future of this world.
That's right.
And it's so important to raise them up right and give them the values that were taught to you by your mother and father. Values of selflessness and values of caring about
others.
Yeah. And that's exactly what you got to do.
Well, and you know, we were talking before the show today, and it almost seems like that the people that come through the Depression and had tough times, they wound up kind of smarter about money and smarter about a lot of things, and today we've just got it too easy.
Yeah. And I'm afraid it'll get harder before it gets easier, too.
Yeah, that's what it appears to be.
It appears to be happening. Let's see if we got somebody on the line. This is the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Hello. I got a question. It might have been answered before, but I probably wasn't listening.
That's okay, ma'am.
This is for a friend that's 62 and can retire in a couple of months, but needs to work because of the insurance.
Yes, ma'am.
But would you advise her to go ahead and take her Social Security?
Well, it's according. If if she's making enough money now, and this is what you need to ask her, to actually pay her bills and live pretty comfortable, the longer she holds out, you know, the more, if she holds out to 65, then she's going to get a little bit more per month.
Yes.
Okay, so that would be the question. Now, if she needs the money now, then I would possibly go ahead and get her to do that. But now also, how good a health is this person in, ma'am?
Pretty good.
Pretty good?
Yeah. Plans to work to, you know, like 66.
Okay, well, you know, and I guess it becomes a math problem, a math issue, because if, like, do you know what the difference is, what she would get between 62 and 65?
I think it's only like maybe 250 or maybe 300.
A month?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so, you know, if she took the money now, you would need to figure out how much she would be losing over the next 3 years by not doing it, by not working to 65, and seeing if it would be worth it. Now, another thing that might work also, if she were to take her Social Security at 62, and if she were to put it into a good savings account and not spend it.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, and it could, because if she's working and then she's able to pay her bills, then that money would actually be better than waiting to 65.
My only problem is if the government's got something there, I'd just reach out there and get it.
Well, you know, that's a good point, because I'm not very trusting of the government right now.
A couple of years, they might not have any money.
You know, you're exactly right there. But
I think that probably if she goes to the Social Security Board, just really sits down. You know, if you call, you can't
tell.
But if you make an appointment, I think that would probably be the best thing to do.
Well, but if you could get her to take the money, like you said, and I didn't really want to go there, but you hit it right on the head. I'm really, really worried. I don't think that the seniors are going to have to worry about losing their Social Security, but I don't think the young people are going to ever see any of it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
And I would, you know, if she could take the money, $600, $800, whatever it is, and if she could be disciplined enough to put it away and put it in a good savings account and continue to work and pay her bills with that money, that would work.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it.
That was a great call. And we've got another call on the line. Let's take this one. It's the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Hello.
Yeah. I got a question.
Yes, sir.
The other day, I remember you talking about Social Security.
Yes, sir.
And you thought they were in financial trouble.
Right.
You know, when you write a check, you know what happens, don't you?
If there's no money there, it bounces.
You talking like the government doesn't have the money. You're wrong. They have the money, but they borrowed it from somebody. They borrowed it from Social Security. Put the IOU in there.
Yes, sir. That's your R.
So that's why.
Well, so the government takes the money from the workers, and they put it into what should have been a trust account so that it would be there for the Social Security payments. But what they've done, like you said, they've actually put IOUs in and used it to do all kind of dumb stuff with.
Yeah.
And so now when it comes time to actually pay up, right now they have more money going out than taxes coming in. And so that kind of goes back to the last call we just had. It's sort of a scary situation. I think the seniors right now are going to be okay, but for the younger people, my kids and grandkids, they better not count on it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just
I agree with you. You're supposed to have a retirement plan.
Well, and that's another good point. Y'all are bringing up great points today, because the Social Security deal itself was supposed to be just a supplement anyway.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are making it their main retirement. And of course, you know, if you've already done it, that's okay, because you can't go backwards. But another thing, another point is people need to get out of debt before they retire if possible, or if they're in retirement, they need to get out of debt as soon as possible, because debt is also the biggest drag on people's finances. And I mean, retirement is just, it's the worst thing they could do is drag debt into retirement with them.
Yeah, I understand. But the other question I got.
Yes, sir.
It don't matter about
it. Well, go ahead and ask a question, sir. I'd be glad to try to help you. I appreciate you listening.
Other day.
Yes, sir.
I think a couple of weeks back, you talked about a mortgage.
Yes, sir.
A reverse mortgage.
Yes, sir.
I think you're wrong. A reverse mortgage is not to take you away from your kids. Kids, it's to help you out while you retire. You talking about we're supposed to give them something. Well, I think if you take a reverse mortgage and they won't take it away from you, they actually finance your house over a period of years. And they give you a check every month. And they don't want your house. They tell you that. They tell you if you die, your kids can pay it back.
You're right. They have to pay it back, though. That's the issue.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's what you're doing. You're borrowing the worth of the house, and you're making that on a monthly basis. But see, the problem is most kids are having trouble paying their own bills, much less having to pay back, you know, the family estate. And what happens then, 9 times out of 10 or even more, the house actually reverts back to the reverse mortgage company.
Yeah. I understand that.
Right, so...
But you got to realize, we build houses nowadays,
right,
and try financing them.
Oh, I know.
And really, the market is gone.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Our country is different right now. It really is. And I realize a reverse mortgage sometimes is a necessary tool for people to use for survival, and I don't think anything's wrong with that. I just think that people need to be very careful when they use a reverse mortgage and other tools and make sure they've completely thought it out and looked at all the math.
Yeah.
That makes sense?
Yeah, but you was talking to a woman was waiting on her disability. She can pay it back.
As far as reverse mortgage, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
But,
they can.
It has her out.
Right.
While she's waiting on her money.
That's right. It's a good tool if it's used properly. I agree with that. But, you know, you have to use things properly. Well, we're going to take a break right now, and I appreciate the heck out of your call. And, you know, please call us back with questions, and I enjoy conversing with you. How about that?
All right.
Have a good one, sir.
All right.
All right, we'll be back with more of the Financial Framework Show coming up in just a few minutes, so keep it right here.
Welcome back, and as we begin to wind down today's show, let me give you some details about the churches in and around the Cedartown area that is hosting the Financial Framework Seminar. The Rolling Hills Baptist Church is putting on a Financial Framework Seminar, and the contact person is Jason Slaughter, and his phone number is 770-639-1754. Again, Jason's number is 770-639-1754. Call Jason if you have any questions and to find out the preview meeting times and the class start date. The preview meetings will last about 30 minutes, and you'll have the opportunity to look at the system and decide if you want the personalized Equity Creator Financial Blueprint as your roadmap, or if you want to continue your debt football game with no goal lines. Remember, the blueprint will give you the exact month and year that you can be totally, completely debt-free, including your mortgage, while spending your same current monthly payments. Invite all your friends and neighbors to experience the wonderful feeling of knowing when they can be debt-free. It is so powerful, I can assure you, it is life-changing. Now, the Cedartown Church of God is also putting on the seminar, and we had the first preview meeting last Sunday, the 14th, and had a huge turnout. And they will have one more preview meeting before the seminar begins, and I don't have that info right now, but you can call their office at 770-748-4720 and find out the details. Once again, that's 770-748-4720. The Fortified Hills Baptist Church off of 120 in Dallas, Georgia is also hosting a Financial Framework Seminar, and they started their classes last week, but they're still taking enrollments, so get by there and get signed up. The contact person for this seminar is Mark Fricks. His number is 678-363-7267. Again, his number is 678-363-7267. I honestly feel this could be the most important financial decision that you could ever make. For more than 15 years, I've been on this mission, and I have seen and heard so many amazing testimonies, and I hope that you'll add your story to those memories. We have put the information on the website. You can find it at the bottom of the main page under the church registration tab. Find a church in your area and attend the Financial Framework preview meeting. A preview meeting, once again, will last about 30 minutes, and you'll be shown how the Financial Framework Seminar is similar to the other seminars being offered, and then how the Financial Framework Seminar is different. The Financial Framework Seminar comes with a real plan and the tools that can make your quest to become debt-free much, much easier. You can also go to the Financial Framework Seminar website and learn more about the seminar. The web address is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. That is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. And if you can't find a church in your area, maybe you can get us in touch with someone at your church. We can contact them and see if they would consider putting on the Financial Framework Seminar, which to a point is similar to the other financial seminars that are taught in churches, but the Financial Framework Seminar comes with a personalized plan that tells you the exact month and year that you can be debt-free. The average family, once again, you've heard me say this before, becomes debt-free in as little as 8 to 12 years, and this is accomplished while spending their same current monthly payments. You don't have to sell your stuff
or suffer any more than you're already suffering. Being in debt is tough enough. Being in debt is hard, and it's hard to get out of debt. But the Financial Framework Seminar and its incredible tools makes it much easier than trying to figure it out on your own. No one is as serious about saving America from debt than we are. And I think you will see this once you have attended the seminar. And let me give a message directly to the pastors and deacons that are listening today. I know that nationwide, tithing is down between 20 and 30%. I also know that it is not a heart thing. Your congregations, they want to give, and they want to give all they can. It's a budget and a debt issue. And unless you address the problem, unless you hit it right on the head, unless you fix it, next year is going to be even worse. Your congregations, they need a plan. They need to have their financial ducks in a row. Once this happens, your churches will be overwhelmed with giving from its members. Give us a call or go to the website, because if you do nothing, a lot of people will pay the price. And as you will hear me often say, even the smallest mistakes that you make today will be magnified many times over in the future. Get in touch with us and let's fix this problem. And always pray for our brave soldiers around the world that are sacrificing for our freedom and way of life. And don't forget about their families who are also giving us a piece of their lives each and every day to make us safe and secure. Our soldiers are modern day heroes and they should be treated that way. Please always keep them in your prayers. Now, if you missed any of the show today, you can go to the website at www.financialframeworkshow.com. That's www.financialframeworkshow.com. Look in the top right-hand corner for the login button, and in there you'll see the WGAA radio section. Each week's broadcast is archived there for you to go back and listen to whenever you have time. Don't forget, next week you can catch a Financial Framework show on Wednesday at 3:05 p.m. Get your questions ready and let's talk them over. Next week will be a good show, and I'm looking forward to talking to you. Until next Wednesday, be safe in your travels, and may God bless.
You've been listening to the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Tune in again next week to learn more practical solutions that will put you in control of your finances and show you how to build a strong and secure financial house.